More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Not trying to be a chotch.
Don't be a chotch out there today. We got a lot to get to in the next 2 hours.
Bro, I really don't care.
I don't care you don't care, Mike. We're going to talk about sports, and that's what we're going to do. I have groundbreaking news from the NBA Finals we will get to at some point.
Ah.
I need Blue Line Brandon's full period-by-period game preview breakdown of Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, which begins tonight.
I was thinking of dudes.
Think about the dudes. Which dudes do you like? Which dudes do you not like? Excuse me, we get Vegas and Carolina tonight. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final begins. How about this run that ABC's going to be on every other night?
So they do have the Stanley Cup.
It's they have the Stanley Cup Final, Cup, and they have the NBA Finals every other night.
That seems like a pretty good
problem.
Well,
I guess they don't fully go every other night, right? Does the NBA take multiple days off between games?
I think when they go back to New York, they'll have a two-day gap.
So you go game, day off, game, 2 days off, game, day off, game.
I think that's right? How the schedule goes.
That sound right to you?
I'll pull it up. I think that's how it goes, but if it's different, then I'll let you know.
I think that's usually how it worked in years past.
So we have Wednesday. Friday.
Friday night. That's awesome.
2 days. Monday.
That's dumb to miss a weekend, but okay.
I tend to agree. You should do that Sunday.
Sunday is off.
Yeah.
I believe.
It is.
That's dumb.
I'm reading the schedule.
You should play a weekend game.
It's okay. You're over there texting. Wednesday, and then Saturday.
Is it 2-2-1-1-1 now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Not 2-2-2.
And then two. So the last. So like.
So it'll be over by August.
So game three.
What will start first? The college football season, or will it end before the NBA Finals?
Game three. So game one is tomorrow. Game three will be June 8th. So Monday, and then you're looking at the following Tuesday, the 16th, would be game 6.
Okay. So if it goes that long, you got about a 2-week run.
So
right here.
Yeah, 2-day gaps mostly through most of the games.
Okay, well, it starts tonight. Your poll question is up, by the way. Which city would you rather live in, Sacramento or Salem? You can go vote on that.
Well, that's not an unfair poll question. I would rather live in Salem.
No.
I don't want to move to Sacramento from Salem.
Somebody bringing up a good point. P1 Tanner saying, I'm surprised Sprague isn't higher on Salem, considering
what
they named a high school after you down
there. They did. The Olympians.
Go Olies.
Was any part of you ever caught, like, that would have been cool to be a Sprague out of Sprague?
I was very confused because a lot of people would be like the high school? And I never knew what they were talking about because we didn't go to Salem ever.
What high school are you talking about here?
And then when I got to high school, I found out there was a high school in Salem named Sprague. Coincidentally, I have a friend. Well, a friend-ish.
You got to get it some gear. They need to send you some gear.
His kids played at Sprague, and he's jokingly said he'd get me a Sprague thing.
You have to, like, a Sprague football or a Sprague basketball.
Yeah, Sprague jersey.
Anything Sprague related, you'll take.
I know. It's much better than the pest control.
Yeah, Sprague, if you're listening right now, come on, step up. You got an ambassador right here.
Look, I was
can we get an endorsement deal with Sprague High School?
It's a little tongue-in-cheek
that'd
about
be pretty
Salem.
Funny. Sprague here for Sprague High School. If you're looking for a place to transfer in the greater state area, just drive down I-5 South.
Go to Park Rose. Keep one state.
They don't have the greatest colors in the world,
What's
though.
What's their color
scheme? It's brown and orange.
Brown and orange. Yeah. They do mostly white and orange when they do their uniforms.
Sprague, let's revise that and then sponsor the show.
I mean, it's a pretty cool thing that my last name.
That's pretty cool.
There's being my last name what it is and having an entire high school. I'm a little unfair to Salem. I love Salem. I go down there quite a bit. My in-laws live there. They got a lot of cool farm areas that we go to berry picking and.
Nah, you already pissed off Salem enough. You can't dig out of that hole, okay?
I'm in Salem more than most of the people.
Salem's anti you.
What are you talking about?
They've turned on Sprague now at this point.
Wallery's
you
Pizza?
You think Sacramento's better than Salem? I can't believe you.
I didn't. I mean, you did take it a bit far.
Somebody texted that I just dropped my daughter off at Sprague.
Did you? There you go.
We got Sprague listeners. Send us a t-shirt, would you?
Sprague.
What are we doing here? We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome back in. You can go vote on our poll questions at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We got a couple of them up there so far. I'm sure we'll get some good responses on that one. One other thing that happened yesterday in the National Football League that we have not talked about yet. I will get to that in a moment, but I will pass along a little bit of news that had been rumored. It's a very nerdy thing. Let me see if I can find my nerd drop here. For any local fans who are curious or want it, where did it go? Oh, here it is.
Nerd!
NCAA Football 27 has released their cover athletes, and one of them is an Oregon Duck. Dante Moore is on the cover of the video game.
Yeah, don't they usually with these covers, they try to do guys in their last year, and so you told me there's three. One of the guys surprised me.
Malachi Toney is on there.
Yeah.
Kawan Lacey, the running back from Ole Miss, is on there, and yep. Dante Moore. Those are your three cover athletes for NCAA football.
Now, is Lacey eligible after the season
I
like
believe
Dante?
So.
Or now, Dante was eligible last year.
Dante was, yeah, technically, but he'll for sure be gone this year. Yeah, I believe Lacey is. Last year they had Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams were their cover athletes, the two wide, young wide receivers, and they were both sophomores. So neither of them are back on the cover again this
Williams
year.
Williams had a pretty disappointing year.
He had a very disappointing year. Smith did not. He will be a top five pick in the NFL draft next year, no matter what he does this season. Joey was on it way back in the day. It was gone by the time Mariota came around. So I just seeing your school colors on a cover of a video game is cool. So Dante getting that honor, I just saw they released that today. Now I might have to go buy it because the Duck's on the cover. So twist my arm, fine. I'll go give you my $60. Mm. Another move that happened in the NFL yesterday was one that we knew about for months. They just we had to wait till the deadline, and then the deadline came, and it was, hey, look at that. It actually happened. The trade that we all knew would take place took place, and that was A.J. Brown was sent from Philadelphia to New England for two different draft picks. Again, this was rumored for a while. The picks are a first-round pick in 2028 and a fifth-round pick in 2027. So two picks, one of them being a first. They desperately needed wide receiver help in New England. The Eagles and A.J. Brown were not getting along for a very long time there at the end of the run. Even when they won a Super Bowl, it felt like they were at each other's throats.
Yeah.
And the trade that had been rumored for 2 months finally happens. And the Pats put something in the headlines other than their head coach sleeping with a reporter, and they get their wide receiver, or excuse me, their quarterback, a wide receiver that he can work with, and A.J. Brown for years to come.
I mean, it's a move that we talked about because it was one of those, there's an agreed-upon trade, but they got to wait for the June 1st date for the trade to be executed. And so we had to get to the point where they could finally announce this.
Yep.
The compensation is about what you'd expect. I mean, this is a 1,000-yard dude. This is a guy that gets you seven or more touchdowns every single season.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a good big pickup for New England now? Yeah. I think this year it'll pay dividends. What is it in 2 years? What is it in 3 years?
Yeah, so do we foresee issues coming ahead for New England?
I don't know, and I know the NFL is not for long, so we don't even know how long he'll be a New England Patriot.
Very true.
We have evidence of him as a player, and look, the Tennessee trade was a little different in the sense of I don't think Vrabel wanted that trade to happen. There's clear video evidence of him finding out, but the Philly thing was great. They got a Super Bowl out of it, but look how it's ended.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Even when they won a Super Bowl, he's on the sideline reading a book about, you know, controlling your emotions and being upset.
Yeah, so, like, it worked. It paid off for Philly. They wouldn't regret anything. He got you he got you almost 1,500 yards his first year.
Mm-hmm.
He almost got to 1,500 his second year. And then he gave you back-to-back 1,000 years and years where his receptions went down pretty significantly. He went from 106 in 23 to 67 and then 78. His averages per catch are pretty good. But it was the relationship, it's the locker room stuff, it's the antics on the sidelines, it's typical NFL wide receiver.
Diva stuff. Yep.
But you want to pick up Arthur Juan, that's your choice.
He was asked yesterday about the Jalen Hurts relationship because he's already shown up in New England, and he said...
Well, he didn't invite Hurts to his wedding.
He did not. He said, quote, nothing happened, people just grow apart. Nothing happened between me and him or our families, wives, anything. Nothing like that ever happened. Life happens, and you just look up sometimes, and you find yourself drifting away, and that's fine. I think both parties accepted that. He said he wants Hurts to do well and accomplish everything his heart desires, but he'll no longer have a hand in helping him, obviously, achieve those goals. And there's two different angles here, right? Like from the football side, you're right that we already talked about it because we knew this trade was going to happen for a while. Philly is, like, in terms of like ranking interesting years for me ahead in the NFL, Rams probably have put themselves at number one on the list based on the trades that they just made. Right? There's a number of teams that can maybe go into that mix. Philadelphia is near the top of my list. Is Nick Sirianni going to survive a down year? They have hired Sean Mannion to be their offensive coordinator, which has a local tie, but is like, man, good luck when they start throwing eggs at your house in week four.
Yeah.
They have a quarterback that all the murmurs and rumors over the offseason has been what? Uh-oh.
maybe we shouldn't have paid this guy. We want out of the deal now. They just dealt their best wide receiver. Now, they drafted Malachi, was the USC kid. Why am I blanking on his name?
Oh, Mekhi Lemon.
Mekhi Lemon, thank you. I got Tony on the brain because of the cover. So you draft a young wide receiver. Maybe he comes in right away and is an A-plus player and replaces Brown. Maybe that doesn't happen. We just never know how that's going to translate. Of just when you think about teams who could be in a very fundamentally different place a year from now than they are today, Philly is near the top of my list because coach is up in question. Offensive coordinator is unproven. I think if you gave him true serum, they'd say, we'd love to find a way to get out of this Jalen Hurts contract if we can, if he has another down year. And they just traded away a guy who, yes, at times was a headache and at times would complain and then drop passes in a game, which is indefensible, but is also, to your point, statistically speaking, a very good wide receiver who's very physical, can go make plays for you, and can be a game changer on the outside. And so Philly, to me, is just fascinating of how do they replace A.J. Brown? How does this impact their offense with a first-time offensive coordinator? And can they get high-level production out of a first-round pick to replace this? Smith is a very good option. I'm not saying he's the only thing that they have.
Yeah.
But A.J. Brown's been good for them from a numbers perspective the last couple of years, and their passing game has been struggling the last year and some change. Even when they won the Super Bowl, they weren't throwing the ball that great. It was mainly Saquon running for 2,000 yards that year. Just a fascinating year ahead for me for Philly on how it looks a year from now.
See, Philly is a good perspective on this. I kind of look at the other side more so because on this show, you have already proclaimed they won't even make the playoffs.
Yes, that is one of my hot takes for the year, New England falling off.
And I understand why people feel that way. In some ways, them getting to the Super Bowl, there had to be things that broke their way, right? Josh Allen wasn't very good, and then you had this crazy snowstorm with no Bo Nix, and here we go, all right?
Happens to be a year where there's no Mahomes in the playoffs, Burrow's banged up, and the Bengals get Lamar.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of things broke their way, but to their credit, they got all the way to the big game. I more ask you, how do you reevaluate the situation? Because I'm somebody that, like, if I give a thought on that, if information comes out, I have to reevaluate how I feel. And, like, one of the biggest areas for them, for me, was this area.
They needed a playmaker.
They didn't have a pass catcher that I looked at, and I'm like, oh, I'm terrified of this. Diggs was gone.
Let me pull up all their numbers from last year.
I didn't think he was a true one anyway.
No.
So I more look at their situation and say, A.J. Brown, I would imagine, is coming in, you know, kind of chip on the shoulder-ish, revitalized a little bit. Like, he left Philly, a little disgruntled, not happy last year. The relationship got dicey with Hurts.
I'm with you. I think you're going to get a big year out of
him. I think you're going to get a really, almost a year two, year one type A.J. Brown. He might get you 1,300 yards. He might get you 80 to 100 catches and have a monster year that way. And so if you're going to get that kind of production at that position, I have no choice but to reevaluate how I feel like New England's going to do next year, even if the schedule got a little harder.
I agree with the take for sure. I don't know if I'm as concrete as saying not a playoff team. I don't know if I would consider them. I certainly would not say a favorite in the NFC or the AFC. I would not pick them to win the conference.
I don't think they were a favorite in the AFC.
No.
Before that.
Even going into the playoffs, they weren't a favorite in the AFC. And they proved people wrong, and things broke their way, and they got a backup quarterback in the AFC title game. So there's no doubt. Like, they got breaks along the way. But yeah, I am a believer in A.J. Brown, at least in a short period of time, because eventually I'm with you. I think eventually he turns into a headache anywhere he goes. He just has that diva air about him. So 3 years from now, I don't know how it looks. But you got a young quarterback on a rookie deal. It's one of the things I advocate all the time in the NFL. It's been a frustration, you know, following a guy like Herbert, for example. Like, A.J. Brown, in my opinion, is better than anybody Herbert's ever had to throw the ball to. Keenan Allen's a good and, you know, back end of his career player, but he's not ever been considered a one in the modern time with Herbert, in my mind.
Like, are you mad the Chargers didn't make
this
trade?
I am. Yeah, for a 2028 first and a 2027 fifth, is that what it was? Like, yeah, dude, I think you could get a huge impact out of him for two or three seasons. I don't know what it looks like 3 years from now, but if I'm a GM, like, I don't care what it looks like 3 years from now.
I think that was kind of my takeaway a little bit around the NFL is I look at all of the teams. The Chargers are a good example of this. They clearly need this kind of player.
Who's their number one weapon?
When I understand that he can be a bit of a roll of the dice. I don't know what he is two seasons from now in New England. It might be a headache, right? This Vrabel stuff has been pretty loud off the field. Maybe it'll die down and we'll move on and Rossini will pop up on a Barstool Caller Daddy podcast. I don't know. But like right now, it's kind of loud. He has a reputation of being a little messy in some ways.
Ladd McConkey was their leading receiver last
year. Yeah, he's their best receiver. And that's not something that I think I want to be saying. Like, Ladd McConkey's a really good second, third option to me.
Yes, he's a very good
slot. In the ideal situation.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a Garrett trade. I'm looking at a Brown trade. And I'm simply just saying, How many teams around the NFL are you saying, why didn't you do this?
You're close. Why didn't you make that aggressive move?
I don't. And this is where we talk about F them picks. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you to mortgage your entire future for it. The Chargers couldn't give you a first, like a better pick?
Right.
A first and maybe, what was the other one, a fifth?
A first and a fifth. 2028 first, 2027 fifth.
You could do a first and a third?
Yep.
To give Justin Herbert like an ideal weapon? And I know, look, I'm picking them to win the AFC here, so I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. But like, I would just evaluate that as a Charger viewpoint and say
that was a position of need.
You need it.
You need another. You need a weapon, and you didn't do it. And I would point to too. Like, this is the funny thing about draft stuff. Like, you can connect this back locally. We had this debate how many years in a row at the end of the Dame run when we're tanking to trade draft picks of, oh God, you can't part ways with that pick, right? You can't. No, you can't trade two first for OG Anunoby. Who would you rather have right now, Scoot and Shaden or OG Anunoby?
OG Anunoby.
It's not even close.
Yeah, not a debate.
I don't know if Scoot and Shaden are starters in the NBA 3 years from now. Like, I don't know what their future looks like.
I'd sacrifice both
for OG Anunoby. Yeah. Right, if I could trade both of them right now for OG Anunoby, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I wouldn't hesitate.
But the idea is, well, it's too valuable of an asset. We can't give it up. Who did the Chargers take in the first round last year? Now, I don't know what his future looks like. They had a first-round pick. They took Amarion Hampton.
Yeah.
He played 9 games. He got hurt. He had 500 rushing yards.
Yep.
What would have helped you win more?
Well, their offensive line sucks.
I know. That's just, and maybe he ends up staying healthy this year and he's great. I'm just using that as an example of like, that was your first round pick last year. He's a running back. He got hurt. He had 500 yards. And is he healthy this year? Is he a number one running back in 3 years from now? Like, I have no idea. I could trade the idea of that for a known commodity of somebody who I know will come in and be an impactful player for me on offense. And that's the roll of the dice that I'm in the NFL, especially with back end of the first round picks. I'm just surprised. Maybe it's a financial thing if you want that rookie contract overpaying whatever AJ Brown is making.
I mean, I don't get it, man.
I'd rather roll the dice and say, give me the known over the unknown any day of the week.
It's the when giant I'm close. Bengal trade, right? It's the 10th pick in the draft.
Right.
And they went and got Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah.
And it's certainly that is a debatable thing. And maybe we look back and we go, hey, look at that pick. The Bengals looked at that and the Bengals don't largely do that stuff. And they're like, we know what Dexter Lawrence can do.
He's very good. And Joe Burrow's a little flustered about us being bad defensively.
No idea what the 10th pick will end up being.
Right.
So, I guess for me,
the Rams traded their end of the first round pick this year for Trent McDuffie.
Yes.
Who was the 28th pick in the draft this year? You can't tell me.
I can't tell you.
Can you tell me who Trent McDuffie is?
Yes, I can.
He's maybe
he's
the best,
a very good DB.
He's one of the best corners and now the highest paid corner in the NFL.
God, now I'm kind of curious who was the 28th pick
there
in the draft.
There was a corner I feel like that went late. Wasn't there? Didn't the Niners take a corner late?
It was the offensive lineman from Utah, Caleb Lomu.
Okay.
He was this Patriot pick.
Okay.
And then I think...
Who did the Chiefs end up taking? Because they had that pick.
Peter Woods, defensive tackle from Clemson.
Defensive tackle from Clemson, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, all of this to be said, some of these players are going to pop, and they're good picks.
Yes.
It's not to diminish the idea of it. It's that, like, I just think some teams, they hold on to them like they're gold bars. And Philly's a good example of this. They don't need him because, to your point, they just drafted Lemon.
They took
already
a wide receiver
had Devonta
in the first
Smith,
round. And they made that draft knowing that we knew the AJ
knew
Brown
that
was
trade was
happen.
Happening. That's a done deal, and they still have Saquon and their tight end position's fine. They made that move because they're there. They didn't just get out of it for salary cap purposes, right? Well, they kind of did because they're restarting at the same position with somebody they really like. But they also brought him in. And what did that do? It put him over the top.
It did.
The Rams. I don't know if the Rams win the Super Bowl. Nothing's a given in that league. But they said, to hell with this. We can have the best defensive player in the sport in a year where we're already loaded. We've made an addition at the corner. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And so, like, the Chargers of the NFL, all of the teams you want to put in that category.
You feel like you're close, but not over the hump yet.
I'd be looking and being like, come on.
Yeah,
we couldn't do that deal.
Could have used a guy like that.
Yes, you got
to
be
I'd
bold.
Like to have him on my team.
It'd be nice.
It'd be nice to have an A.J. Brown out there. Despite the headache, he's going to read a book and be quiet sometimes during timeouts at least. So that's the trade. I mean, we all knew it was going to happen for 2 months, but it finally goes down. A.J. Brown traded to New England for a first and a fifth round pick, and so New England adds a weapon that they desperately needed. Philly, we all knew they wanted to get out of that deal because him and Hurts didn't see eye to eye, and they took Lemon in the first round. So a trade we knew was going to happen happened, and we'll see how it impacts both teams going forward. We have a breakdown like you'll never see going into the NBA Finals. I'll explain that. Plus, maybe I might have to yell about a sports topic that I'm slowly learning about. That's next on The Fan.
Well, nothing screams I'm new to this sport like not understanding it and then yelling about it because it doesn't make any sense to me. I will get to that in a moment. How much do you guys believe? Now, we all have our stitions and our superstitions that we have out there. Don't change your underwear after a big win. Leave your socks on in certain moments, right? You never know. How much do we believe in corgi magic?
Yeah.
Are you a corgi believer?
No, but it was pretty crazy how it lined up for the corgi in the staircase with the ball bouncing randomly.
Whoever came up with this idea, the air corgi man himself, shout out to you because it's brilliant. Every time they pop on, it's like a 30-second video and I watch them.
Well, I watch it too, but he's not the first.
Is that who's the first? Do you remember?
Well, I feel like they've been doing octopus picks and lion picks. I feel like we've been doing animals forever.
They spray their ink. Spell out the color.
Yeah, I think they grab it with one of their eight tentacles.
One of the tentacles. What if they grab two at the same time?
Well,
it's a tie.
Then you kind of wonder a little
bit. Now I'm confused.
But I'm pretty sure the corgi's not the first.
I'm going to give him credit. They picked the Western Conference Finals. The corgi did. Nailed every single game.
Yeah, that's pretty
San Antonio game one, OKC 2-3, San Antonio 4, OKC 5, San Antonio 6-7.
If you
every single game nailed it, corgi heading the basketball into the trash can.
If you had a corgi, would you bet the way the pick goes of the corgi?
I would. I let Teddy pick my pick sometimes when we turn on a game if I don't have a bet. He'll be like, who are we rooting for tonight, the white team or the black team or whatever the jerseys are?
Uh-huh.
And he'll say, white team or black team. And I'll, all right, $5.
White team first there, huh?
Yeah, damn right. In the NBA Finals, according to the corgi, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Will this happen? Remember this as the series goes on.
Okay.
Game one. Vicious battle goes to San Antonio. They cover home court.
Yeah, I tend to think
New
that's
York
happen.
Bounces back.
I love it.
Wins game two.
Let's go.
They get a split in San Antonio.
Yes.
Okay, now we're going back to Madison Square Garden, all tied up. Game three goes to the Knicks. They take a 2-1 series lead, and then San Antonio wins game four, all tied up 2-2. San
finals.
Antonio wins game five.
Oh, the pivotal game
we
five.
We go back to New York. The Knicks win game six. Back to San Antonio. The Spurs win game seven. The Air Corgi is predicting a seven-game series won by the Spurs at home. I'll take it. Sign me up right now.
Look, a title is a title, but the ideal scenario is actually New York going back to MSG up 3-2, isn't it?
With a chance to close out on home floor.
If I gave you the perfect scenario, I mean, unless you're an anti-New York Knicks for whatever the reasons are, or you're a Spurs fan.
Is there anybody out there that's rooting for San Antonio over New York?
Yeah.
Outside of Spurs fans?
I think there's a lot of Wimby.
France.
I mean, who cares? We eat freedom fries in this country, okay?
You need entire country.
You need us to bail you out in another world war? Is that what you need, France?
Well, at this point, we need France.
You're going
to
wave a white flag and need us to come to your rescue?
I think we need
that. Back-to-back world war champs? You're welcome, France.
No.
Where's the thank you? Take him back to your country and get him out of my league. That's what I want.
But if you took away all of that, like, and you're just pretty us, you're neutral.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I'm taking the Knicks because I actually think they can win the series. It could be a fool's errand think that's true. But the ideal case here is New York 3-2 going to New York.
They got it.
Game six elimination
night. Either way, it's great. You get to see them win on their home floor or them choke away a chance to win on their home floor.
And Wimby rips their heart out, and now we're going to a Fiesta game seven. Like,
either way, it's good.
Give me New York 3-2 going to MSG game six. That is the best ideal scenario here.
I'm going to see if I can pull this up. I was looking. I don't know if the game seven numbers are in yet.
Of the TV ratings?
For the Western Conference
Finals. I'm
curious
about that.
But I saw, thank God, where did it go?
Usually a Marchand, Rovell.
Yeah, he had something about, this was going into game six of the NBA, or the Western Conference Finals, and it was like blowing stuff out of the water. Like the average rating, I meant to like it, and then I let it slip
was
by.
Was it a Marchand thing? Because I wanted
to it
account.
It was not a Marchand, because I just scrolled his account too to see if it was on there, and I didn't see it on there.
Right.
But basically it was, they were averaging, I think, north of 11 million viewers.
That's pretty good.
Dude, for a conference finals,
yeah,
that's incredible. And it went through, I think it comped it to the ALCS, which was Tigers and Mariners, right? Was that? No, Blue Jays and Mariners.
It's NBC Sports PR here. The 2026 Western Conference Finals is the most watched Western Conference Finals of all time through three games.
Yes.
Now
and
it's over now, but yeah.
And that was
games.
Just through three games, right? And then you get to a game six and a game seven, the numbers are going to be huge. I think this series is going to top anything we've seen in the last close to a decade. I think the draw of
Wimby. I don't want to go crazy, but this has an ability on paper to beat 2016.
You think he could beat? I don't know if he could beat 2016.
I don't know if it will.
So unique.
I know. It's Cleveland. It's LeBron. It's Curry. All of those things in play, and you're not wrong. And I don't know if it will. On paper, though, this Knicks team with the ability to win the first title since 73.
Yeah.
First final since 99. With that dude, I really, this is the most ideal matchup of all of the stuff in the league.
You're not wrong. So I'm looking at last year. I think it averaged 10 million viewers was the average. So like game seven obviously peaked.
Last year was incredibly disappointing to me because it told me as a sports country,
so here
we don't
averages.
Care about basketball because that was a great series.
Game seven had 16.35 million. From what I'm reading, the initial reports are, by the way, that game seven Thunder and Spurs had north of 19 million watching. Game seven of the conference finals.
Yeah.
Game seven of the NBA finals last year had 16.35 was your average. So maybe it peaked a little bit higher than that.
Okay.
Your average for the finals as a whole. Here we go. I pulled it up. 10.2 last year. Celtics and Mavs was 11.1. Which was not a good. That's hilarious. It was a terrible series.
It actually wasn't terrible. Five. They won, but the result doesn't match.
The games might have been entertaining.
There were some good games in that series.
You got to get me to a game six. Get me to a game six. By the time the series is 3-1, it's over. Is it not?
I mean,
how many NBA teams in the history of the league have come back from a 3-1 deficit?
LeBron James.
Yes. The last time the NBA Finals was rated that high.
That's it.
Can you name me any other time? Exactly. So
in
you
the
win.
NBA Finals. No.
So the series ended in game four. Yeah. It was basically a sweep. I'll grant you maybe the games were good. Denver, Miami average 11.64. Golden State, Boston went
Denver,
to six
Miami
games.
Was a terrible finals.
Yeah, 12.4 for Golden State, Boston. Milwaukee, Phoenix coming out of the bubble. Remember that was kind of a wonky time. I can't remember exactly in the calendar where it fell. That was 9.9.
Yeah.
Your bubble final was 7.4.
Mm-hmm.
Year before the bubble was Raptors over the Warriors, 15.1. And then you go back to the Warriors, LeBron years where you're living in cake and honey is the NBA.
Yeah.
17.5, 20.3, 20.2, 19.4, even going back to the Spurs in Miami series. So you haven't topped over 11 million average. Last time you did was Golden State Boston in 2022. I'm gonna give you a guess right now. I think our average is closer to Toronto Golden State of 15 million. I don't know if you hit the 20 million mark.
I almost say you're going to get it to 23.
23?
Yeah.
That's a huge. Dude, that is such a
this
big
is the
number.
Best matchup you could have asked
know,
for.
I know. It's a huge number. The last time you got, they had, it's wild to look at that 2016 series where they came back from down three games.
Like, are people excited? I know I'm living in a basketball
You're
haven
sniffing your
right
own
now.
Farts a little
yeah,
bit.
I
think
am.
People are excited. I'm definitely excited. I don't like
what
the NBA.
What could have gotten you more excited than this?
Outside of my own team being
yeah,
in,
outside
nothing.
Outside of your own team.
Nothing. There's nobody else in the East that was interesting enough to me to get me to care that deeply about. Like, if Cleveland was here, God, no.
Could you imagine if Detroit would have defensed their way to the NBA
Beach Stewart missing layups? No.
Ron Holland shooting a mid-range
And look, I your point on San Antonio yesterday, you put up a poll question, are they the luckiest franchise, I can't remember, the verbiage of our lifetime or
yes.
whatever. And they are. And it's
they
I
are.
Hate them for it, and I hate them. Like, it's just so stupid that they took 10
they've
years off.
They've built good teams, but they've gotten the best luck possible.
The year they get the number one pick, it wasn't an Anthony Bennett draft.
I
it was
know.
A Victor Wembanyama drafted at Tim. Have they ever had the number one pick outside of that? Maybe way back. What pick
picks?
Was Robinson? Do you remember where Robinson was taken?
I think he was number one.
He was number one,
I'll
too. So you've maybe had three number one picks in your history, and
I'm
it was David
sure
Robinson,
have.
Tim Duncan, and Victor Wembanyama. Just happened to be the drafts that you have the number one overall pick. So, yes, I can't stand
he was the
them.
87 first pick.
But from an entertainment standpoint, like, Wemby is a tractor beam for attention of, like, I've never seen it before. It blows my mind every time I watch him. And so it's as compelling of a finals matchup as you can get. 20 million? If you get to 23 million, who, buddy?
What's the ideal World Series this year? Because
had it, and it didn't even rate that well. It was Yankees and Dodgers. Like, you can't do better than that,
can
you?
I rated pretty decently, didn't it?
I mean, it did fine, but we all thought going into that series of like, we're going to...
The Juggernauts, the Blue Bloods.
It was a five-game series.
Because, like, right now, the Stanley Cup, which is about to start, today.
It's not going
to
be great. Their ratings have been really solid through the playoffs.
They've had good ratings in the playoffs, but like right now, people going in is basically like, we're taking the lesser of two evils here, which is actually Carolina because people hate Vegas.
Yeah.
That's not ideal. That's not the matchup you would want, right? You'd probably want Carolina and Colorado.
Probably,
from an aesthetic standpoint.
Probably from an aesthetic standpoint.
Or Montreal for the Canadian angle of winning
the whole country.
Enchilada.
Dodgers and Yankees average 15.1 million viewers.
That's right. I'm reading this point.
Last year, but now it went to 7, so again, different. Like it went longer. Game 7 had a huge number. Almost 30 million people watched Game 7, so it helps. 15.4 million was the average for last year. Dodgers and Blue Jays. And then you had your Rangers and Diamondback series in there that was less than 10 games.
What would be the best Super Bowl if I asked you guys next year, if it's not your team, what's the best or sexiest
Cowboys
Super Bowl?
And Chiefs.
Really?
Yeah. From a TV ratings perspective, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Over like Rams and Bills?
Yeah, I think so. From a football angle, Rams and Bills is a much better game. Like, I hate to do it, but it's, you know.
Cowboys Chiefs.
If you actually had Mahomes going for a fourth ring, the Cowboys looking for their first
in
30 years.
Yeah.
They haven't played a Super Bowl
in 30
years.
Cowboys Bills would do better.
Maybe. Yeah, Allen going for his first ring
the Cowboys,
as a known guy.
Yeah, Allen thing would be fascinating.
I mean, I hate that it's the Cowboys, but yeah, I think they're the biggest
ring. Well, I hate that
NFC.
It's the Spurs.
Yeah, I do too.
But also, I have to acknowledge, it's because of him.
The Spurs have only had five top five draft picks in their
God, I
history.
Hate them. And Castle and
so
Harper
three,
are the other two, right?
No. Robinson, Duncan.
Wemby, all ones.
Yeah.
Dylan
Harper
two.
Was number two.
Where was Castle taken?
He was later.
He was a top.
He was fourth.
Let me go look. Hang on.
Because the Rockets took
I just said
Reed.
Castle, and he was a.
Reed Shepard.
Yeah, he was definitely. Wasn't he a top five pick?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Saw that. Okay, so they've had six.
Six, okay.
Who was
Sean
the
Elliott was
Sean
taken
Elliott.
With the third pick.
Those bastards.
In when the hell was that? That was 1989.
Well, are we going to follow tomorrow night Corgi betting logic? Should we follow it game by game?
I mean, I already think the Spurs are winning.
Did the Corgi pick the Stanley Cup?
Oh, I'll have to go look at Air Corgi. I don't know. Let me find that during the break.
Why do you give this dog specifically all the animal picking credit?
The Corgi just went 7-for-7 in the conference.
I mean, that's
finals.
Pretty remarkable.
7-for-7 is pretty great. I can't go 7-for-7.
I know the
seven.
Octopus of which you
that's
speak.
That's Blue Line Brandon level yeah. right there. That's, I mean, I that's unheard of. Nobody
does
that.
Which aquarium or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
there's
I've seen
an
that before.
Grabbing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there is a.
Holy cow!
Maybe not a dog that exists that I have gone more cold the hot on than the Corgi.
You
Corgis
get a Corgi?
Look cool, but there's somebody three units down in my building that has two Corgis, and anytime there's any, and
it
they come
barks.
Out, there's get all they do is bark.
Yeah. See, I had the opposite.
And their owners just don't do a damn thing.
I think they, I
Put
used
a bark
to
collar
think,
on that thing? Do those people still do that?
No, people feel bad about that.
I can't do that?
I used Muzzle. To think they were a really ugly dog. I'd see them and I'd be like, you look like you should have been a full-grown dog and you stopped.
They're cool
like somebody started
dogs.
Designing you and then they stopped halfway
well,
through.
Well,
they're
bored. Like,
wait, that's all you got?
But now
weren't
I look at
they originally
go,
bred
adorable.
To be hunting dogs and like...
I don't know. That was our old dogs.
Yeah.
Shiba Inu's Japanese.
Yeah,
hunting.
I know.
Good hunting dogs.
Yeah.
That's a badass dog.
That is a badass dog.
That's my dog. Me too.
Well, that just took a depressing turn. All right, coming up
my
next.
Current dog loves my wife so much more than me.
Really? Your second fiddle?
Which I give her credit. Like, she does give him a little more attention. She's been taking him on more. She's taking over the walk.
Oh, your wife's taking over walking
Which, you know,
duties?
It's good. Get some exercise. Yeah, she's taking over the walk duty. Mm. So, you know, when you're picking up that poo.
She works from home, too. Is that different?
Yeah.
Like, she's around every day. Not that you're gone for very long, but you're, you
Does
know.
The dog go in her office space?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just sits with her while she's working.
Look. When the last dog passed, we were both bumbling messes. She got the dog. I got into the relationship with the dog. And then, like, I became the walker of that dog.
Yeah.
This one, she might be far more a mess at the end of this because he clearly loves her more than me.
The walker and the feeder, man. That carries a lot of weight in a dog's life.
It's a pack.
The walker and the feeder is all they care about. If you could do that, you're number one on the big board. I'm going to yell about something I don't understand. We'll do that next. And then the mail sack coming up. Sparta TRT mail sack, top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam. Well, I'm not finding anything on Eric Corgi for the Stanley Cup Finals, so you know who we need to lean on. Our own Eric Corgi, Blue Line
That's right,
Brandon.
Blue Line Brandon.
People give us a game-by-game breakdown. Stanley Cup Final begins tonight.
Yep.
Vegas and Carolina in Raleigh.
Yep.
A trend continued yesterday, and I'm going to yell about it in a moment. But here's some fun facts for you. I don't know how much everybody watched or were tuned into it. I had it on the TV for nothing else really going on in the sports world yesterday. My Major League Baseball team blows. So I was watching some college baseball. This is a fun one. Of last year's eight World Series teams in College World Series, of all eight of them, half of them did not even make it to a regional.
How about that?
And the other half have already been eliminated. It's the first time since the tournament expanded in 1999 that all eight World Series teams failed to make it to the Super Regionals the following seasons. So let's say the fun game. Can you name how? Well, I shouldn't say can you, because you'll probably forget some. How many of the eight from last year can you name?
Oregon State.
Oregon State.
Louisville.
Louisville.
LSU.
LSU.
Yeah.
Three.
Arkansas.
Arkansas was in there. You're halfway there.
We're going Tennessee.
Nope.
Nope.
Florida.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Nope. Nope. Oral Roberts.
No, but there is an Oral Roberts type. I'm actually just guesstimating based on the hat
underdog
of the picture. I believe this is Wichita State.
The Shockers?
No.
What is it?
It looks like the jersey says Racers? It's hard to tell.
Murray State.
Thank you. Were they in there last year?
Yeah, I think that was.
It just has pictures of the coaches and there's a jersey,
yeah,
and I'm like,
that's it.
I think it says Racers.
Yeah, the Murray State is the Racers.
The other ones that you forgot, Coastal Carolina. Remember their coach kind of rubbed people the wrong way, talking some ass. Arizona was in it last year, and UCLA was in it last year. So those were your eight last season. None of them made a super regional this year.
Who won it?
LSU.
Oh, okay.
Duh. We're a baseball blue blood. We watch every year. They won the...
We as in like...
Oregon. We watch the World Series every year because we're never there.
You better not get boat raced by Texas.
Adding on top of this, though, we're seeing something we've never really seen before. Since the current format was adopted in 1999, there has never been a season with multiple regional four seeds making it to the Super Regionals until now. St. John's won yesterday. Arkansas Little Rock won yesterday. So you've added there. And before last year, no number one national seed had ever failed to reach the regional final in the NCAA baseball tournament. It's now happening back-to-back years. We mentioned UCLA and Vanderbilt did it last year. And so it's something we've never seen before, back-to-back years. And the whole time I'm watching this thinking, okay, I mean, Oregon's been in super regionals before, and then we usually choke. We've never been to Omaha, and I'm sure that's how it will go in Austin this weekend. But I remember thinking as they were beating Oregon State, because I hadn't looked at any of the stuff, I'm like, well, we got to be hosting a super regional. We got all these upsets. We were the 11th overall seed, I believe, going into regionals. All these other teams lost, so we get a super regional, right?
No.
And they win, and it's like you're going to Texas, and I'm, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What about St. John's in Arkansas, Little Rock?
The brackets are matched up.
This doesn't make any sense.
This is the way it's always been.
I don't care that it's always been that way. You think it makes sense? Let's reward a four seed, barely over 500 conference champion
because,
with hosting a super regional
because
that's the way that the bracket shook out.
Okay, first of all, welcome to the conversation of big time baseball.
Exactly.
It's nice to have you
Secondly,
since 2009. Haven't had you in a while.
You're a national
like arguing for ties
seed
in soccer. We've always done it this way.
You get the massive advantage of hosting the regional in the first place.
We deserve it for the regular season.
Okay, you get to set it up so you get to pick, like, the first games. You get to pick if you want to play the day game or the night game, so you can pick how you want to set things up. If you blow the regional,
does anybody take the day game?
How is that an argument?
Why would anybody take the day game?
Depending on if you're in a spot like Auburn where you have thunderstorms constantly and stuff gets delayed.
Okay,
what does that have to do with who hosts Super?
Why are we not hosting a super regional?
Look, he's going a long-winded way to say
this is ludicrous.
This is why
and
I
it
think
doesn't
it makes
make
sense.
Any sense.
No, I get what you're saying. This is why I think it makes sense. That four seed that you speak of, the Johnnies or the Murray States, they're going into those regionals. They're like plus 1,000 underdogs.
Rightfully so.
Okay, rightfully so. Them winning it is just in itself. You just noted how many teams are not going to go to Omaha this year that weren't last year, and
very
how many
rare
of the top 10 didn't win the regional. It's crazy.
Right.
The top two seeds are out.
Right.
So, like, you already have the longest shots. This doesn't happen. This is a crazy year for this.
Sure.
What I would prefer as a sports fan is knowing where I need to prepare to go if I know I'm not going to host the Supers. So Oregon, yes, is 11, but I would prefer to know if we're not going to be hosting the Supers, tell me where I need to be ready to travel to. If Duck fan wants to travel.
Which we're probably not, but okay.
There are going to be some Duck fans that are in Austin, that some will drive over there, whatever. If I want to go travel, I want to know where I'm going. I think this is much better than what football is doing.
Well, sure, but also,
hey,
like,
where are we going? Okay, Miami, Atlanta. We're gonna go Rose Bowl. It's like, who can navigate that kind of schedule? It's dumb.
I see the point, and it's, you're not wrong in that angle of it. What percentage of fan bases are traveling to super regionals for baseball?
Well, I think
at your school,
usual teams that are in it that have either been upset or still alive.
A lot of Cal Poly fans flying out to Morgantown, West Virginia.
I don't know about a lot, but like some of those schools, it's like their lifeblood.
I am a big fan of reseeding whenever possible to help
the better teams.
To make sure your regular season matters. Like, that's the whole point. The whole point of a regular season, like, you can tell me I can pick the night game or the day game. That's great. In a regional.
Yeah.
But the whole point of it is getting that national seeding, having us, like, deserving something, and then having other teams who did not do what you did in the regular season only hosting because another portion of the bracket shook out in their way. That, to me, is ludicrous. Kansas was ranked lower than Oregon going into the regionals. Oklahoma pulled off an upset over Georgia Tech. And now Kansas gets to host because Georgia Tech won that, or Oklahoma won that regional.
Yeah.
It's dumb. It's okay to just say it's dumb and move on.
But not everything, just because it's dumb doesn't mean it doesn't make sense, though.
It doesn't make, I don't understand rewarding teams who did not deserve the reward in the regular season.
The teams that earned it in the regular season got it in the regionals.
Who has the best playoff format in the NFL? Or who's the best playoff format in professional sports? The NFL. Would we agree on that? Who has a better playoff format than the NFL?
The NCAA tournament had it, the basketball tournament, before they went and expanded it.
Say, so a 15 seed pulls off an upset in the first round, we should give them home court advantage in game two?
Here's an argument against the NFL.
No, the basketball tournament with all neutral sites.
But they're not neutral for everybody, because if you're a high seed, where do you get to play for the opening weekend?
Closest to home.
I mean, come on. Gonzaga's at the Seattle, hosting site. What are we doing there?
Yeah.
What I would say
is we should go on the road and play the 9 seed. They deserve it from the regular season.
What sport seeds the best teams? Like, actually gives you who you think the best teams are? Do you think that's the NFL?
I do think it's the NFL.
More than the NBA?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Then you would probably say the NFL.
I'm a fan of reseeding. I'm upset about this. It's all right. We're going to make Texas our bitch this weekend.
You have a best of three opportunity here.
We don't need three. We need two.
Our best, three.
It'll be over on
Saturday, Sunday, Monday for them.
We don't need Monday.
Game one Saturday.
We don't need Monday.
Five games.
We're gonna wrap it up on Sunday.
By Monday, we can come in talking about what a season.
On Monday, we'll come in and say, "Dude, we're going to the World Series for the first time," and that's gonna be really cool. I'll put this out as a poll question. I think I'm right in this debate.
Well, I love that you care about something that you don't care about.
I mean, I don't care.
That's actually my favorite part of the conversation.
It's the fun process of, hey, we're here. Like, let's learn about this. Oh my God, why are we not hosting us? This is dumb.
You've been in supers before.
Yeah, whatever. This is the year it's different. Mail Sack kicks off the final hour next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.